Yo, episode 9, how to get into investment banking. So three things that we're going to talk about today is why did I get into investment banking and why do I think investment banking is such a great career? One is I actually wanted real deal experience. So now whether you think traditional sell side advisory, so whether that's capital raises and other capital markets activities, traditional M&A work, and fortunately for me, I was in restructuring. So really getting exposed to how do restructuring processes work. The second thing is I did want to develop a really sound technical footing as well as a strong soft skills background. And when you think of a technical perspective, that just means, hey, having a strong understanding of finance and accounting, how do deals work, soup to nuts, whether that's going from receiving a SIM and building out a model, building out an investment memo, a thesis, communicating that to your investment committee, or whether that means actually, you know, when you're on the flip side, on the sell side, you're, hey, working with management to create the SIM, doing the diligence to write about the industry, to create the financials, developing the company model. You know, that stuff's exciting to me. And I was like, hey, I really want to develop and have a strong financial background. And I knew that banking was the way to do that. Now, transitioning to the second part to that, which is the soft skills that are needed, right? Hey, I know that this is a job that's going to require me to interface and interact with clients, management teams, other executives, senior bankers, partners, MDs, what have you. And you really have to be able to hold your own, right? What that means is being concise, communicating clearly, creating presentations that tell a story, right? That craft a narrative that highlight, hey, why is this transaction accretive? Why does this transaction make sense, right? Really telling a story through a deck. And that is hard. That is not an easy skill, right? To take a blank canvas and creating a PowerPoint and putting in a story that makes sense as to, hey, why does this investment make sense? What are the returns? What are the risks? How do we mitigate things? Why does this deal make sense? So I realized that that soft skill set was really important. So the third thing, and this is the most important thing, is that those first two things, once you put them together, what does it allow you to do? It allows you to be a complete business professional. And what you choose to do with that skill set in combination is up to you, right? So for me, I knew when I was in high school, and I'll dive into this in the video, I knew that I wanted to be an investor or an operator of businesses. I wanted to help build companies, you know, bolt-ons, whatever, right? I knew kind of what I wanted to do in that space. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew that that was something that I wanted to look into. And the more I looked into everyone in this industry, all the men and women, you know, you look at guys like Thomas Tull or Bob Iger, John Malone. There's so many examples, and I'll give this all in my on episode today, is that a lot of them had backgrounds in banking or consulting and the buy side or what have you. And I realized that what's the reasoning behind that, right? It's because, hey, you need to have deal chops. You need to understand, you know, I'm not saying you need to know, you know, yes, you have consultants, you have lawyers, and you have other people that get roped into things, but you need to understand the blocking and tackling that goes on. And then secondly, is you actually need to have the competency to go and do these things, right? And it's just, and once you develop these skill sets, it's up to you how you utilize them, right? Some people might take these skill sets and be like, hey, I want to start my own company. I want to go work at a startup. I want to go work at a Fortune 500. I want to be a CEO, right? For me, it's like, hey, I want to take this skill set one day and go be an investor and invest into businesses, right? So that's why I decided to do investment banking. Those were the three reasons at a high level. But as we get into the episode, I will be kind of diving into detail as to kind of how those came to be and how you yourself can come up with kind of your own framework and realize, hey, I know I want to do investment banking, but why is it that I want to do it exactly? And then once you kind of have that euphoria moment, how it can help you with your networking, the research you can do to find roles, reach out to people, and better craft your story and narrative. So anyway, without further ado, let's dive into episode 9, guys. Huge ask. I have a lot of listeners on Spotify and SoundCloud, and a lot of you guys apparently listening to me on those platforms. A huge favor if you could go to howtogetintoinvestmentbanking.com and just put in your information, because that way you guys will also then get all this stuff emailed to you directly each and every single week. So again, just go to howtogetintoinvestmentbanking.com, put in your information, and that way you guys will get everything. And also, please make sure to smash the like button, subscribe. It definitely helps. It really actually does make a huge difference. And so let's get into episode 9.
So with that being said, I'm going to dive into a little breakout that I made on my PDF. So for my first-time listeners and old-time listeners, there's a link in the box, in the description box, whether you're on YouTube or on Facebook or on Spotify or on SoundCloud or wherever you are. There's a link in the bio, and it'll take you to a PDF that you can download. And you don't have to put in your email or anything. Just click on the link, and you'll download it. And that way you can keep up with me. And then I do have some things that I'd want you guys to do at the end of the episode, a little bit of homework to make sure that you guys stay focused. So anyway, with that being said, welcome to this episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking. Let's dive right in. Right. So guys, if we look at this slide and I orient you guys to the left right here, I'll make a little star. You know, the first thing that I said was, hey, why do I want to work in banking? Right. And I talked about how, you know, the first thing that I wanted to do was I wanted to develop and get exposure, right, to certain types of deals and things that were happening. So the question is, it's like, hey, Sajan, how did you know that you wanted to do this stuff? How did you come across it and what have you? So I think the reality is that for me, I was lucky at a young age. I knew that I was interested in entertainment and media and entertainment. I loved movies. And that was something that I was really interested in. And as I started doing more research around folks like Thomas Tull, guys like Bob Iger, you know, interesting, Thomas Tull, legendary pitchers, he worked in investment banking before he pivoted out and did other things in his career. So that's an example of like, hey, I got exposed to learning about someone who worked in banking and then leveraged that skill set to go and do something else. In this case, it's to create a film company. And I was like, all right, well, if I'm interested in making movies and media and entertainment, maybe getting into investment banking is a path that I need to pursue, right? But at the same time, I was looking at a bunch of other folks too, right? So you think about guys like Bob Iger rebuilding Disney and all the transformative acquisitions that he was doing. Or if you do more research into guys like Lewis Bacon or Paul Tudor Jones or Henry Kravis, right? When these guys started out in the industry and really made a name for themselves, the niches that they picked weren't really fully developed, right? So when Henry Kravis got into the LBO game, LBOs weren't necessarily a thing, right? Even though there were financial transactions of that, they just weren't mainstream as they are today, right? Or if you think about long short hedge funds and how they've matured over the past 20, 30 years, the point I'm trying to make when I did my research and I'm reading about these guys and girls and when I'm reading about these men and women, excuse me, in high school and college and trying to figure out who are folks that I look up to, what resonated with me was like, hey, who are the people and firms doing today what I'd like to do? And what do I need to get there, right? What type of exposure do I need? And that's where the second point comes up, guys, is you really need to spend time learning the ecosystem. And this is what this homework does, right? This homework assignment. Yes, I know you guys are in school and probably have midterms and finals and all that stuff. But what I need you to do is to genuinely ask yourself, is like, hey, what am I passionate about, right? Are there specific industries? Is there a specific space that I'm really into, right? That really resonates with me. And something that, you know, an example that I got ready, I know I give a lot of examples of myself, but, you know, let's look at this Savage Fenty, right, by Rihanna. And it just came out that like Morgan Stanley and GS are working on a potential IPO. So let's say you are into fashion, consumer retail, you know, they have subscription as a service clothing companies and they have all sorts of stuff now, right, in that space. And, you know, if I'm a high schooler and I want to work in business, I want to have a clothing line, I want to invest into clothing companies or apparel or something tangential to that, you have to remember that you might think you want this, but you don't know how it's going to ultimately manifest, right? But a career in investment banking, and if you're a finance student and you're trying to figure out, hey, how can I combine my passion with a career in banking or in the buy side or something of that ilk, this is a perfect example, right? Is that your goal should be to now be like, hey, who are all the top consumer banks, consumer retail banks? Who are all the ex-consumer retail bankers who have gone on to start their own funds and own companies? And there are a plethora of folks who have left banking and now work at companies like Rent the Runway and work at companies like Etsy and Pinterest and are leveraging that financial skill set to help build a product, a brand, a service, a clothing company, a retail company that can draw on that skill set, right? Not only the technical skills that they have from banking, but the actual passion that they bring for that industry, right? So I bring up Savage Fenty as an example, because if I was in high school and I was like, yo, I want to be like next Fashion Nova, like how do I do that, right? It's like, one, yes, you need to have that inherent industry passion and you're reading vlogs, magazines, podcasts, you're probably designing stuff on your own, you're really in tune with what's going on, maybe you have a niche or demographic or certain message, but at the same time, you're like, hey, I like really want to get the business chops so I know what to do, I want to know how these deals work, how are people raising money, how are they raising venture money, how are these companies going public. If you look at a company like Olaplex, they were bought out by Advent International, right? That's a good example too. I'm writing down Olaplex actually on here. Shout out to Olaplex. So you start to think about all these things, right? And you're like, all right, well, it would make a ton of sense for me to get into a career in investment banking or management consulting, and I can get in at a ground level and really understand, hey, how do pitches work, right? How do M&A pitches work? How do capital raising rounds work? How do you actually model this stuff out? Like, hey, if we, how do you understand the business fundamentals of like, hey, four-wall EBITDA, which is like, what's EBITDA of the four walls of a retail company? But more so, it's like, hey, how do we project out revenues for a business, right? How do we figure out what the optimal capital structure for a company might be? How do we project forecast revenue, sales, cost, right? And what would a potential investment look like, right? What would an LBO of apparel retail look like? Does that even make sense? Or what type of growth investment would make sense, right? So these are the type of things that, depending on what type of group you're in investment banking and what region, what type of clients they work with, that's the type of exposure you'd be getting. And that's really exciting to me, right? If I'm in high school and college, and I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what I want to do, because I'm going to get the financial skill set. I'm going to learn how to create presentations and tell stories behind these different transactions that these real life companies are doing, so that one day when I'm launching a brand or launching a company, I know how to, hey, what does my investment thesis look like? What does the portfolio analysis look like? What are the KPIs? What are the metrics? What are the operating metrics of this potential venture, right? And you're just well positioned to do that, because ideally what happens is that, and now I'm going to pivot to my second point. So just to take a little bit of a pause here, guys, my first step right here was deal experience, right? That was number one. And then kind of touched on the second part, which was soft skills and technicals. And now this third part is being an investor and operator of companies, right? Now, so for you, working in banking, what that's going to allow you to do is that, hey, you're going to be in a really great position after a year or 4 years in banking, where you could go to a buy side role at any stage, right? And I know there are certain limitations, because depending on what group you're in, deal exposure, certain funds will only look at certain folks. But for the most part, you'll be well positioned if you're good at what you do and you've built a network, you reach out to headhunters and what have you, right? But you might even also have the chance to go to industry, right? There are a plethora of companies out there who hire for folks in operations roles. And I know operations is kind of like a taboo word in banking because it's seen as back office, but operations functions, strategy ops or corporate finance, corporate development, there could be, like, depending on the size of the company, it might be like a kind of a, like a mush, a gray area, but it could mean like strategic operations could mean like, hey, what sort of products do we need to introduce? How do we introduce them? Do we layer them in? What sort of joint ventures do we start partnering with other companies and other partners to, you know, cross sell products or do brand deals and things like that? And that's something that you could pivot and do, right? Which, again, when I talk about why I got into investment banking, number one, like I said, was, hey, I want to get deal experience, because deal experience is invaluable to understand how things actually work. So when you want to do deals on your own down the line, just having that there and knowing, having those chops there of how to run a deal soup to nuts, whether it's having a sim in hand, creating the model, going through a data room, doing due diligence, interacting with lawyers, and just kind of knowing that process is very impactful. And it's even great if you're in a top, you know, if you are in a pure M&A shop or a restructuring shop, and you're really getting into the nitty gritty of some of these nuances, or if you're in a coverage group that really has a strong coverage group, so you're working in an industry that you're really passionate about, right? So that's where that second part comes in, right? So the first part, kind of like, you know, exposure, right? I wanted to work on deals. I wanted to do all that. Second thing is investment banking, right? I realized that all these folks that I looked up to, investors, operators, CEOs, everyone had exposure to a front office role in some capacity, whether it was consulting, IBD, sales and trading, some sort of buy side role, period. I was like, all right, clearly everyone is working here for a reason, right? There's a reason. And I mean, yes, look, outliers exist, but for the most part, everyone that I looked up to had banking and then something else after that that was also considered front office, right? And that's why it's really important. And I think the homework, you know, for folks listening to today's episode is like, what are your passions and interests, right? And then identify those firms, not just sell side advisory firms, but also, excuse me, what are the top consulting groups that work in that space? Who are the top buy side investors? Who are the angel investors? What's the legal network? What are the industry rags that you need to read? Like, really get immersed, because that's what's going to allow you to understand, hey, how do these deals form? Who's driving them? Who are the top bankers? Who are the top lenders? Who are the top entrepreneurs? Who are the top incubators? And that's the type of stuff that will help, because then once you get into banking, then you'll know, like, hey, okay, well, what steps do I need to take next based on what my passions and interests are? and make sure that I'm also developing that, you know, for me, my core competency things that I looked at, right, which were my soft skills and my technical skills as it related to what I wanted to do. So that's the second point as to kind of like, hey, why does investment banking fulfill this for me in my career, right? So we covered over one, which is exposure, to actual live deals, both sell side, buy side. Number two was, hey, developing a certain skill set. And that skill set was using financial models to analyze a deal, to realize what returns might be, what have you. And then also the soft skills, which I think are really important. Like this deck that I made, like in all my episodes, you guys probably notice I have like these kind of bougie PowerPoint slides. I don't think they're anything special, but I can make decks at ease because I can use PowerPoint to craft a narrative to tell a story about something that I'm trying to get across. And in this case, I'm trying to tell folks who are listening to this podcast, why did I do investment banking? Why do I think it's still a great career? And I think a lot of people are shitting on investment banking because you work a lot. But if you're learning and you love doing what you do, you're not going to see it as a lot of work because you're learning and you're excited. And I was having a phone call today with a friend who's a VP at an elite boutique. And he made a good point. It's like, this is fun stuff that we do. Like the stuff we learn in school about finance is fun. It should be fun. It's just that some people don't make it fun. And just think about how cool this is, right? You're in a due diligence room. You're reading about a company. You're looking through their financials. You're creating a sim. You're writing about an industry. You're doing industry knowledge. Like this stuff should be fun. And if you don't find it fun, then yes, you shouldn't be working because you're going to be miserable. Now, yes, I know I have peers who are going to be like, Sajan, you must be crazy because when it's 2 a.m. and someone wants to change some format or wants to realign the logo, that's where the madness comes in from. That's a whole other episode of that I'll talk about, is that I do agree that there is minutiae that is done at an amplified level that makes talented people who work in banking question it and be like, hey, why are we wasting our time doing mundane things that like we don't need to do? Let's focus on the book, which means let's focus on the pitch, the story. Let's focus on the transaction we're pitching. Let's focus on things of substance. So I don't want to belabor that too much, but just wanted to touch on that it is a lot of work, but if you do what you'd love, you're not going to get bothered by it. I just want to touch quickly more on that second point about, your passions and interests. Look, I know it's very easy for me. Like I knew media entertainment, but at the crux of it, you know, if you think about it, if there's like layers to it, right? You know, at one layer for some people, there might be like a certain industry that you like. And then at that second base, it could be like, hey, IB and, you know, sell side and buy side will allow me to develop a skill set where I can go work in industry or potentially go and do my own thing, but I have the skill set to do that. And then at the bottom level is like, hey, is it a technical aptitude, right? So for me, it was a perfect storm where I knew that I needed banking. I wanted it. I wanted that skill set, but I know I needed that exposure to get to where I wanted to get to down the line. And I think the challenge for students today is they know they want to get to an end state, but they don't know what it is exactly they need to do to get there because they may not have a passion or something that they're really interested in to justify, oh, why I want to do investment banking. So that's where I'm coming in and telling you guys that, hey, it's important. Like I know, especially where recruiting full swing, you might feel overwhelmed and like, oh, I just need to apply and kind of running around with the chicken with your head cut off. But this is a nice transition to this third part of like really that why. And, you know, like I said, for me, it's like I wanted to be an investor, right? And what did you want to invest in and why? Is there a certain asset class? Is there a certain sector? You know, is it tech stocks? Is it airline stocks? Is it energy? What is it, right? What is it about that long-term goal as an investor that makes you want to work in banking? And what groups or what buy-side roles or what sell-side groups would position you best to do that? So that's why it's okay if you feel like you're running late. And as I kind of conclude, as I conclude on this episode, is that I want to highlight and stress that, hey, it's okay to take like a week and it's developing and it's continually growing. Like, hey, what are the sectors I'm interested in? What are deals that I like reading about? What are companies that I like to follow? And then use that as a template to then go back and like, all right, hey, let me find groups. Let me find firms that are really active in the space and let me go hard after that. And if that doesn't work out, then yes, you know, you're not always going to land in your dream group or your dream firm. And yes, very well understood. But that shouldn't be a reason for you not to do this exercise, because even if you end up somewhere, you end up in the transportation group, and you're like, yo, Sajan, I hate trucks, and why am I doing stuff on OEMs? Like, I don't care about this. I want to do TMT at telecom or media or whatever, or healthcare, right? Med tech, whatever, right? Then it's like, hey, that's great, but you can always now lateral because you still have your guiding north. You still have your passion. But it's important to have these things kind of clarified. Hey, so what I want everyone to do is like, hey, you know, what are your three things, right? What is it for you that you want to work in banking, right? Is it, hey, I want to develop this technical skill set, the soft skill set. Two, is it that I want to get the exposure to deals to be like, hey, do I even like this type of work in finance, or is there something else that I want to explore, right? Maybe just working on deals isn't what I want to do, or hey, do I want to work on deals just to know how they work, right? And I want to understand the nuances of them. And then third, that third piece of that portion is like, hey, sorry, let me just back up here. I want to make sure you guys have a clean slide. Is that the third thing is that how do those first two points impact what my long-term vision is, right? So you can, at this point, I'm sorry, if you're in college, you do need to start thinking about, and I'm not saying you need a definitive answer, but having some sort of, you know, like they say pot at the end of the rainbow, but having something at the end where you're excited about of like, hey, I want to be a CEO, I want to be an investor, I want to work at a growth fund, I want to manage influencers, whatever it is, like, what is that end state? And what sort of skill sets, work experience, soft skills, technical skills will you need to help you be successful at that, right? And my thing that I preach on this channel is that investment banking really sets you up really well to not only obviously go into the buy side, get buy side, great buy side experience, but leverage those things to get in a position where you can get placed into a really strong team, group, firm at a company, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, a pre-Series A, Series C, pre-revenue, whatever, a startup, and be positioned well to really lead and do so with conviction, because you'll know how to run a deal. You'll know how to run and analyze an industry. You know how capital markets activities work. You'll know how to analyze a cap structure. You'll know how to speak to senior management executives. You'll be able to storyboard things on PowerPoints, tell a story, articulate well. And these are really important skill sets that you can now then bring to your own startup, to your own idea, to a startup, and whatever it is that you want to do. So I want to make sure that, you know, like I said, that is the homework today, and I have it in right here. Figure this out. What that means is right here, this lower quadrant right here is spend the week, figure out what are some passions. And I'm not telling you to have it like set in stone. I'm only asking you to figure out a few things, even if it's just broad, high level, tangential. And that's why I give this example of Savage Fenty, like, hey, someone who might be interested in fashion or whatever. And I'll give a quick example. I know I also talked about Olaplex, but I'll give a quick example of Fifth Wall. They're a VC fund and they're focused on real estate disruption, right? Real estate technology, upstarts in the real estate space. That could be a thing too. Like, let's say you're really into real estate, right? You're like, shit, like, I'm really into real estate. Well, then, hey, maybe you need to spend that time to like, who are the top real estate folks? What are the top real estate banking groups? Who are the top real estate VC folks? And see what they did, see how they got there, and then understand and analyze how can my passions in real estate be translated to a career where I can, you know, get a lot of experience, make money, do well for myself, and then use that experience and capital and money and connections and network to eventually go and do my own thing, right? So that's how you need to think about this stuff, is that how can I leverage and use this career in banking and then hopefully in the buy side or whatever to then leverage it to go and do my own thing. So again, guys, that is it for this episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking. One thing, and I should have mentioned this at the start, is that I have so many listeners on Spotify and SoundCloud. Can you guys all please do me a favor and go to howtogetintoinvestmentbanking.com and put in your information and subscribe so you guys get all of this stuff? It's weird because I'm like, wait, I have so many people listening to the podcast. Like, why is the email list not growing? So guys, please go and put in your information so you get this stuff, right? You get all these decks and what have you. And then, yeah, please also do go and share this video if you find it helpful and you think you know someone that might find it helpful. Would really appreciate that. And then like and subscribe, because that always helps. So with that being said, I will see you guys later.